had no hope. I sought the rooms of NA, and I listened to every word, you know, that people said, and they gave me hope. And so I believe it's truly an honor to be able to share, hopefully, a message of recovery and hope to the still suffering addict. So I want to thank Lance for asking me to speak. And the topic today is the gifts of recovery. And it's a funny thing. Last night, my husband's cousin's mother passed a couple months ago, and we were blessed with a newer car than what I had been driving. And last night we were in bed and we were praying, and I was thanking God for blessing me, and I stopped in my prayer and I said, you know what? It doesn't even matter that you're blessing me with these things. What matters is that you're so good, you know? You're so good. I don't care if you never do another thing. Just don't leave your presence from me. Because for a long time, I walked in darkness, and I didn't have any recovery. And so I got out of bed, and I turned the TV on, and as soon as I turned it on, a preacher was on TV, and he said, you know, when God blesses you with a new car, it's so that you can give God glory and instill hope in another person's life. And that's exactly what it's about. And so I was seeking God for what he would have me to say today. And the acronym he gave me for the gift of recovery, gift is God is first today. And you know what? That's a message in itself, because that's the spiritual foundation of my recovery and my peace and joy and serenity today. So I'm just going to share with you what I believe my God has laid on my heart today to speak to you guys. And you know, it's an amazing thing. Like all these things that in active addiction and when I was at that place of desperation where I would seek these answers in every human form, man and doctors and all these people, all these earthly people, and they, every single one of them failed me. And it wasn't until I got to a place where I cried out to God that a power greater than myself could relieve me from this addiction. And God certainly did for me what I couldn't do for myself. But see, when I cried in that cave, when he met me at my greatest point of need, you know what? I was on the ledge of a 9th-story window, and I was ready to jump. And God sent an angel into that bathroom, and she saved me from jumping, or I certainly wouldn't be here today. And what I know is this, like, you know, and that's why I say I don't take this lightly, because a lot of people die behind this disease. And so, you know, this is real precious for me. Narcotics Anonymous and my God saved my life. And so, like, you know, I'm not just taking up a seat. You know, I'm trying to actively get involved in helping. And it's not always the newcomer, you know. It might be me one day, but it's always about giving of self. The gift of recovery is that God is first today. But see, when I first got to the room, I was in a fog for a long time. And, like, you know, I just kept coming back, and I didn't take anything. And, you know, I got a sponsor. I did the next right thing. But it wasn't until I surrendered from my heart to my God, and I said, I'm not on the throne anymore, you are. I obviously didn't do a good job managing my life, so I'm going to give you a shot at this. And that means, see, and I talk to my girls about this, you think very carefully before you make that decision, because you don't take your will back. When you give your will up to God, it stays there. And I no longer have the right to decide what's best for me. Where do I work? Who do I marry? I saw God about who I marry. It was one of the scariest moments in my recovery, because I knew if God would have said, that's not the man for you, I would have walked. There's nothing I don't do today without direction from my God. Absolutely nothing. I go to the supermarket. I ask God, what grapefruits do I buy? I mean, everything. I see God in everything. And that's, you know, that's third step stuff. And then, and you know, and that's, it's a pivotal point for me. Not only, you know, the surrendering to my disease, the surrendering to NA, surrendering to God was when I truly experienced this spiritual awakening. Truly. I had a burning bush experience when that happened to me. Now, when I got out of prison, I was a missionary. And I had head knowledge of the Word and this God, but I didn't have a relationship through prayer and meditation of this conscious contact with this higher power until I surrendered my life and my will to God in my heart. And then I started to understand, you know, about this thing, you know, God is in control. You know, it's easy to say these things, but what am I doing? What are the fruits of my life today in recovery? So this is what God has revealed to me. Last night I was up all night fellowshipping with God about what he wants said. And so this is what he told me. The 12th step that we work is an ego-deflating process because we are all about self, I, you know. And I have to get to a place where I can smash my self-centeredness so that I can allow a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity, to teach me healthy living skills. And so when I was in self, though, I acted out in, I call them the seven, you know, sins. It's all about, you know, gluttony and pride and, you know, envy and all those things. And I lived my whole life on that. And those are still defects today that I see God on a daily basis, not to, you know, let me act out in those. But see, here's the pivotal point, and here's the breakthrough for a lot of people that I come in contact with, why they're not walking in total victory. It's not enough just to put the drug down. Are you walking in victory? Are you full of the spirit of your higher power, evidenced by the fruit of that spirit, which is this: love, joy, peace, temperance, patience, long-suffering. Those are the spiritual things of this program. Dying to self and allowing God's will and God's power to move in my... to move in my life will manifest itself through those attributes. And so it doesn't have to be a constant struggle of character defects versus God's attributes. Because truly, if the power of God is working in my life, and if I'm actively praying by speaking to God and meditating by allowing God to speak to me, because it's a two-way conversation. And you know what? When I first started hearing from God, it was foreign to me. God, is that you? You know, like I wasn't real sure. You know, I was a baby in this thing. And I still am, but it gets stronger. There's physical muscles that we work out, you know, to get strong. But see, my flesh is going to die. However, the spirit that lives inside me will continue forever. And it's that spiritual muscle that I must be vigilant on a daily basis to maintain that spiritual condition in order to walk where my God wants me to. And so I do that. I'm constantly seeking God all day long. He's my best friend. And, you know, and so, like, last night I was thinking about, like, when I first got here, I thought God would, God would restore me to sanity. I was mentally challenged from all of my ODs, and I was seizure banded, and I was a mess. I couldn't even talk 2 years ago. And so, like, when I first got here, I said, my interpretation of step two was, oh, you know what, I'm not going to have seizures anymore, and God's going to restore my brain cells and my nerve endings so I don't stutter and slur when I talk. And then, like a year later, I started to believe that step was about believing in this Narcotics Anonymous program, restoring me to sanity so that I'm not caught up in the grips of not active addiction, but active self-will, you know, all that. And then God started blessing me, you know, like I was never really concerned about material things, but he started blessing me. And I was like not feeling worthy. But, like, you know, we all have the same disease. We all have low self-esteem and fear and insecurity and guilt and shame, all that stuff. And I wasn't feeling like I deserved it. And a pastor friend of mine said, Allison, whose report are you going to believe? God's going to restore you to sanity. Are you going to believe the lie that you've lived your whole life? Or are you going to accept this gift of recovery and allow the love of God to flow through you so that you can give it out? And that happened last month. And that changed my whole perspective on this whole thing of sanity. Like, you know, whose report am I going to believe? You know? And so, like, he blessed me with this car. You know, it's not about the car. It's about how can I help others? And so, you know, my husband and I prayed about, God, we give this car to you. Let it be used for your glory. You know, let us help. It's a bigger car. Let me fill more newcomers in it. You know? And that's real important for me today. Like, you know, giving of self, because I'm so selfish. And it's not until I die to self and let God have his way, you know, that he changes me from the inside out. That's the true gift. Not only, you know, we're guaranteed, you know, we're told we'll be free from active addiction. Yes, we are. And that's truly a blessing. I know a lot of people that live unmanageable lives, and they're in torment and bondage, you know, because they don't get it yet. And so I'm constantly praying, you know, with my girls every day, you know, because God, it's all God. It's all God. I mean, it's all him. And so it's about dying to self, though, and letting God's will be done. But this is what God told me. Not only am I giving my people freedom from active addiction, but I'm giving them freedom from self. And look, that's a gift. That's the gift. Freedom from self. You know, I was talking to my friend this morning, you know, like we experience the challenges of our own self-will, you know, and we have to be willing to surrender self to God. And if not, we pray for the willingness. But that's really the freedom, like, you know, because once the obsession is removed, I'm stuck with me. Now I got to work on my inside, you know, and deal with all that stuff. Now, I am made of flesh and spirit, you know, so I have a constant war going on, you know, just like disease and recovery. There are two opposite forces that I must contend with on a daily basis, every day, every day, every day. And so how do I make this decision to walk in the spiritual things, you know? How do I do that? And you know, that's a gift. That's a gift. God is first today is a gift. You know, that's my message. God is first today. You know? And he should be. Because he did for me what I could not do for myself. And, like, I'm real bold when I talk about God. And when I give my lead, you know, because to God be the glory for the things he has done, you know. And yes, we allow room for people when they first get to the room to have an understanding of their own higher power. Yes, we allow you that, you know, there's no right or wrong. And hopefully, you know, you will understand that it is a loving God. See, because look, a lot of us didn't experience the love and nurturing and acceptance and ability to communicate our feelings from our earthly father. And that carried with us as we got older. And so then we can't see God. We can see our father, and he let us down. So how am I going to trust in you when I can't see you? You know? And so there's some areas of healing that need to take place there. But I know today that I have a loving, forgiving God. And a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that God loves them. You know? I go to the hospital in the jail every week, and, like, you know, these girls, like, they have no hope. And I've been there when you're at that point, you know? And it's attraction, you know, rather than promotion. They have to surrender, you know, before they get this thing. But if they don't, they know this, when I left, that God loves them. And you know what? I remember when I was out there, like, you know, I would hear it. When I was a missionary, they would they would come and they would tell me that, and I didn't internalize it until I came to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, that I have a relationship with God today and with myself. So God is first today, and then what God gave me was giving is first today. See, because God is love, and love expresses itself through giving. And, you know, it's all about giving of self. That's the gift of recovery also, is that I'm not so consumed with self. You know, what can you do for me? What can I do for you? You know, with no ulterior motive, and my intentions are honorable. How can I help? My husband taught me that. When we first started dating, the phone would ring. Boy, am I glad you called. He didn't even know who it was. Doug, I'm jammed up. How can I help? He didn't care what they needed. How can I help? And I looked at him like, and I'm thinking, my God, I would have asked, how long is it going to take? What do I need to do? How much is it going to inconvenience me? How much is it going to, you know what I mean? All these conditions. And then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to help you. You know? And he's like, how can I help? And I was like, man, that was powerful for me. You know, I realized, like, man, how selfish I am. Like, you know, And then God had placed me in this job, and it was a challenge for me. I used to come home and cry, and, you know, I'd be like, oh, I can't stand it. And my husband would say, well, what did God say? Well, he said, stay. And so then I was praying. I said, God, you know, give me strength. I can't do this, you know? And he said, you know what, Allison, it's not all about you. That man needs to hear that I love him. You stay put. And you plant seeds of hope. You know, he's in recovery. He's got a substantial amount of clean time, and he's lacking this peace and this joy that can only come from a relationship with a loving God. And so I stayed till the day that I was released from that job, you know, and it's not all about me today. And at first, you know, I'd pick up the girls, you know, and it was like, 2 blocks away, and it was like I'd have resentments driving there because they're 2 blocks the opposite way of the meeting, you know. And I was like, and so I did it because I knew that was the right thing to do. But God changed my heart, and so through God being first today, the first and most important gift of recovery, aside from freedom from the addiction, of course, is giving. Giving from my heart is first today. Like I don't question anymore, and I don't struggle anymore with, you know, I don't want to, but I will, you know? And I watched people, and my sponsor, she'd come to my work, you know, and just, as soon as somebody was jammed up, my sponsor was there, you know? And it was like, wow, these people, you know? Our gratitude speaks when we care and share with others the NA way. And when I read that on our coin, I thought, wow, you know, that's what it is. It's about giving of self. Giving of self. Giving of self. And I do that today from my heart, and because it's such an honor to be able to have a word for somebody that's struggling. What an honor that God uses me to do that. What an honor. The gift of recovery is about faith and power. This power is available to us, and we tap into it, and it keeps us clean a day at a time. And a friend of ours, 20-year-old kid, OD, from heroin, he was at the hospital. And my husband and I are both in ministry, and we were asked to go to the hospital and pray for him. And we did. We were with the family, and we all held hands, and we prayed. Now, this guy was a vegetable. His arms were all deformed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't move his legs at 9 o'clock that night. The next day, I was at Bible college. This was 2 months ago. And my phone rang, and it was the kid's mother, and she was hysterical, saying, Allison, Luke is walking. And, you know, like, that's, And so I told him, this is a gift. I looked him straight in the eyes. I said, God kept you alive. Like, you know, this is a gift. Some of us die. And so you need to know, don't take this lightly. The fact that his power healed you is not so that you can go out and use again. It's so that you can minister to those other 20-year-old kids that won't hear this message except from you. And see, that's what God, and this is what our literature tells us too. Every single one of us has a purpose for our lives. Every single one of us, God wants to use. And here's the thing, we suffer from such low self-esteem and worthlessness that we don't think we can be used because we're so damaged and we did all these things. But listen, there's somebody out there that is struggling, and they will not, absolutely will not get this thing. They will not get this gift until they hear it from you. Your testimony, your experience, your story of where you came from and what this power greater than you did and what this fellowship of NA did will set them free. And, you know, so if you guys ever, like, wonder, you know, why am I here? And, you know, why do I do these steps? It tells us why. To be of maximum service to God and to others. And, like, you know, and so every morning my husband and I pray, God, your will be done today. And, God, let us help one person. And he does. No, he does. Our whole life, every day, is about prayer and helping others and thanking God. Those are the gifts for me. Those are the gifts. And so I want to thank you for letting me share. And so that's all I have. Thank you, Allison. I would like to introduce our second speaker this afternoon, and his name is Steve, and he is from the Grow Up or Die group of NA, and that's in Cecil, Pennsylvania.
Hi, I'm an addict named Steve.
Yes, you are.
I don't know if I could follow that. I ain't that spiritual. But I tell you, funny, about 5 years ago when I first got clean, a guy I had met in early recovery, he asked me to come up here because he had to speak, and he asked me to come up with him, and I thought that was like an honor and a privilege to come up and listen to him speak. And today he's sitting out here listening to me. And that's a gift, because I never had a friend for that long. I didn't know what friendship was about. I couldn't care. I don't have anybody in my past life that I keep in contact with other than my ex that I was with that tortured for 12 years. And we still keep in touch by phone. And she's the only one. No children, no family, nobody else. All the friends that I have today, and I don't have many, are friends that I've made in Narcotics Anonymous, but they are true friends. And that is a true gift, friendship in Narcotics Anonymous. But the very, very first gift that I got in recovery was peace of mind. That was the first gift I was given. And it happened the day I got busted. Because when they came in and the DEA said, come on, we want to talk to you, it was like this huge thing came right off me. And I wasn't even in recovery yet. I just knew I didn't have to look over my shoulder anymore. I didn't have to go chasing anymore. I didn't have to go running. And then I wound up after a detox and a rehab. I wound up at a place called Serenity Farm out in Hickory. And it was kind of like this out in the country, you know, chickens and farm, and they had a cow and a goat, and I don't know. But it was peaceful, you know, and then after a few short days, I got my second gift. The obsession was lifted. You know, I prayed, God, you know, I had to go into town for something, I don't know for what, but I had to go into town, and I prayed to God to help me to get through that, because I didn't want to use. And I had known before I got to the farm that I was done. I just knew it. There was something in my heart that told me, that's it. Enough's enough. You know, I remember leaving St. Francis Hospital and having to go somewhere to go get my vehicle. And I remember walking across the 10th Street Bridge going into the north side. And I saw this guy walking across. And he had a brown paper bag, and I told him there was a steak store very close by. And I had about $10 on me. I had a long walk in front of me. I thought a little taste would be nice at this point. And I had to stop on that bridge for a minute. And that's the first time I ever really prayed. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, traffic going by, and I'm standing there like this. And I can remember this guy, what are you doing, you asshole? And I just said, God, just keep me clean. Just get me where I got to go. And that's when the process started for me. You know, and the gifts have been many over the years, and they've been, like, wonderful. And I remember, like, early on, I had a big problem with God as a recovering Catholic. I have problems with God. And when I came here, first things I started hearing was about God. And I said, oh, no, man, I ain't going to be around here long. But, see, I had legal problems, and I had no way to go. So I had to sit tight, and I said, I'll do this thing for a while, and then I'll just go on my way. And my good friend John once again intervened, and he taught me about this loving, caring God that he had, who happens to be the same God I had. I was just taught a little different. And I was able to refocus my attentions on God and view him in the way I could view him, not in the way other people view him, not in the way I was taught to view him. So now, through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I was given the gift of observation to observe my God the way I needed my God to be. Because I can't deal with a vengeful God. I can't deal with a God that will continually make me take consequences. And then it made me take a look at my life, because my life out there was a long time. I was 35 years using. And I needed to get a perspective on my life and how am I going to go about the rest of my life and stay in touch with God. And it's still a struggle today. I have problems with God because sometimes I go, do you remember me? Do you remember I'm still here? You know, and God, you know, I want things in my time. I want things when I want them. And somebody reminded me just the other day that, you know, he kept Moses in the desert for 40 years. I said, I ain't got 40 years left. I need something now. But, you know, the gifts of recovery after having peace of mind and after having my obsessions lifted was the ability to be able to pray and pray to God to help me to get through these things. Now, this took a few years. It was a process of learning how to pray, and I tell Doug all the time, I have a struggle praying. I don't know how to pray, and I just talk to him like I'm talking to you, is the way I talk to God. And I do pray every morning, and I do pray every night, but that's how I pray. I don't know any real prayers, I just know how to talk to God. And I always used to pray, like when something was going on with me, I would pray for God to get me through this. Please help me get through this. And then one day a bell went off, and I don't remember exactly what caused it, and it was maybe about a year ago that I realized that why am I praying to God to get me through this when he got me through about 37 years of active addiction, jails and institutions, dereliction, degradation. He got me through all that, so maybe I don't need to pray for that. Maybe I don't need to pray for that. Maybe I need to learn how to pray to be okay when I'm going through something. See, I was taught somewhere along the line that the trick is to be okay when it's not okay. And that has worked in my life pretty good, to be okay when it's not okay. Because a lot of times I want my life to be different. I have more than what I have, and I lose sight of what I got. See, I always lose sight. And every time I lose sight of what I have, God has a way of putting something in my life to show me how fortunate I am. So I'm coming up, every anniversary I come up on, I go through a crisis, a self-invented crisis, you know. We have these moments. So I'm coming up on my 50-year anniversary, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm basically in the same spot I was in when I first got clean. I got the same job. I live in the same place. I did get a newer used car. But, you know, I'm basically where I'm at when I got clean, so, you know, what's this all about? And a little light went off in my head. See, when I first got clean, I got diagnosed with hepatitis C, so I said, I think I need to go and investigate my hepatitis C because I need to know where I stand physically. And so I went and I had all the blood work done and blah, 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 I had the big breakdown done. And while I'm waiting for the results to come back, I got my results for most of my stuff except for the last test, hep C. That takes about 3 weeks. And all through the process, this doctor's telling me what good health I'm in for my age and for the abuse I put my body through. And he said, you're in very good health. You know, blood pressure's good, this is good, that's good. So one night, you know, in anticipation of waiting for my results of my hep C, I was very anxious, and I didn't know why, and I started to think about it, and I'm getting into some thought, and I realized that behind this whole process of me going to get this check was, well, if I get bad news, I could go out and use. Why stick around if I'm going to die? I might as well die having fun. And the next day I come home and there's a message on the machine from my doctor, and I said, oh, here it is, man. So I called the doctor's office and he told me, he said, your viral counts are so low, if they were any lower, we'd have to call you a cure. So I said, well, I guess God wants to keep my little ass in recovery. So I decided again to make a decision to stay. So now that, you know, I decided to stay, I refocused my attentions again, you know, and I started to look at what I have gotten from recovery. And what I've really gotten out of recovery is the ability to live life. See, today I could live life without a drug in my system. Before, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go on a job interview straight. I couldn't walk out the door straight. I couldn't go down a block straight. Whatever I had to do, I had to have my courage. And my courage was my drink or my drug. I had to have something in me to go take care of whatever I was going to take care of. Today, I don't have to do that. Now, it doesn't make it easy all the time. Sometimes it's hard for me to get up. Sometimes I don't want to face life. I just don't want to show up on a daily basis. But most days, I do. And when I have a little problem, I have some tools to work with. I have the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's a gift in itself, because you know what? People that don't have this program don't have 12 little simple steps to follow to help them in our lives. We have an advantage. And then I realized somewhere along the line that just because I am an addict and I survived and I made it to Narcotics Anonymous, which I thought I did all myself until I realized God brought me here. And as I got here, you know, that's the gift. Having survived and given another chance and a new way to live. And you all taught me how to live. You know, by me coming around and taking suggestions from John and Stan and Luann and other people that I know in this program, and having the ability to sit down, listen, put my ego aside, be able to learn, remain teachable, and do all those things, you know, I've been given a new way to live. And through their constant pushing and, you know, nudging and all this type of stuff, I got involved in H&I, which I did not want to do, because that means I got to be responsible. So I got involved in H&I, and I have a commitment up at the Washington County Jail. And it is the most rewarding thing that I do up at the jail, Doug. It's the most rewarding thing that I do in this program. And then I had this commitment for a while, and they turned around and they said, look, we need a town coordinator because the other guy had to leave, blah, blah, blah. And I really didn't want to do that, man, because that requires a whole bunch more commitment. You know, I'm involved around going to meetings, and I got to go to H&I service, and blah, I got to make sure they get meetings in there. And I was going through my own little crisis at the time. I had a busted romance, so I was going through that, woe is me type of stuff. And I get hit. I thought, okay, I finally took the panel coordinator position. And what happened was, we had taken another floor in the jail. We only had one floor before. Now we had two, and the second floor wasn't filled. So guess who was doing all the meetings? Me. But it took me out of myself, and it took me away from everything I was going through, and it helped me get through this crisis. And I've been doing this jail for about a year and a half now, and I'm in there 2 to 3 times a week, and I'm just starting to get guys in there, which is good because now it frees me up a little bit. But that's an undercover gift that I didn't even realize was a gift until I got on the other side of the pain and realized how I got on the other side, because I didn't even know how I got through it. And then when I turned around and looked, and I said, that's how. And that was the gift, just, you know, without even knowing that I got a gift. And just the ability to be okay with me is a supreme gift to me. And how I am okay with me is through people that I have in my life today that accept me for just who I am, for nothing else, because I have nothing. So therefore, you have to take me as I am. And they accept me. And the same people that I have befriended early on in recovery are still my friends today. And that is a true gift, to be able to nurture and carry a relationship and go through births and deaths and holidays and good times and bad times and laugh and cry and do all those things that I never did in my active addiction with my own family, I am now allowed to do it with other families. I remember sharing not too long ago, a while back, where, you know, I never was around for my own children, and now I'm able to see you know, children grow up through other people's children who have allowed me into their lives with their children. And that's a true, that's a truly God-given gift. But the more I thought about this last night, I was wondering, well, what's the greatest gift I could have gotten out of recovery? Other than on a daily basis, I get that daily reprieve. Because it tells me in the book, as long as I live the program of Narcotics Anonymous, to the best of my ability, I am promised one thing, freedom from active addiction. But I did not get free. And, you know, just to live miserable. I see a lot of people that live miserable, that have clean time, a lot of clean time. And I don't want to live like that, so I keep myself involved in the program. And I do my H&I, and I'm GSR in my home group, and I go to 6 meetings a week, and I reach out to a newcomer, and I work with my sponsor, and I keep in touch with my support group, and I don't keep secrets. I let them know what's going on with me. And these are all things I could have never done, usually. I was never able to relate to anybody. I'm not telling you what's happening with me. I'm not going to let you know how bad I'm hurting. I'm not going to let you know that I feel less than or that I can't do this and I'm afraid to do that. Don't let you know that I have fear. But today I have the ability to relate that. I could sit in the meeting and talk about my fear. I could talk about feeling less than. But I was really giving it a lot of thought, and I thought, what is the greatest gift that I got from the program of Narcotics Anonymous? And I came to the conclusion that it's the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because without the program of Narcotics Anonymous, none of the former were possible. I went to Catholic school. I couldn't stay with God. I had an education. I was a registered pharmacy technician, certified. That got me to the DEA. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do anything unless it involved being something illegal, getting over, making money, getting high, getting it in, getting it on. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't keep my life on track nowhere. I couldn't keep a relationship with my family, with my wife, with my kids, with nobody. And today I have the ability to do that. And everything that I do today, although it does come from God and I realize that, it only comes because God guided me to the program in Narcotics Anonymous. See, I met a guy that was a counselor. His name is, he wouldn't mind me using his name, his name is Richard Truss. He works for the Light of Life on the north side of Pittsburgh. And he's the only guy that I know that was a hardcore heroin addict that recovered through Christ. He truly recovered through Christ. He does not put Narcotics Anonymous down or any other fellowship. He just never needed it. He actually promotes going to Narcotics Anonymous, going to other fellowship meetings. But he's the only person that I ever met in my time in recovery that was able to do that. And I've seen a lot of people come in here and get religious and go right out, like the book says. My our good friend Brian, who's a good friend of mine, I spent 9 months with him at a recovery place, and I love him dearly, and I still love him today. And the last conversation that I had with him, he told me, I'm going to be okay, I got a new $35 Bible. And then he went out and shot dope. So I know that God put me here in Narcotics Anonymous because he knows I'm too stupid to do it on my own. I can't do it just through God, and I need you people to kick me in the ass every now and then and let me know I ain't nothing more than a dope fiend trying to get an unpaid claim. Because I start to think that I'm doing something. I start to think that I know something. I start to think that I'm about something. And all I have to remember is that I'm just a low-bottom junkie who couldn't put a day clean together in 37 years. And through the grace of God that he guided me to this program and put my simple little ass in this program, and it showed me how to live life. Now, without the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I'd die. So when the program asks me to do something, I generally get up and do it. I haven't had to say no yet. So I realized that my greatest gift is right here in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's all I have, and thank you for letting me share.
I would like to thank Steve for sharing on his gifts of recovery. I also want to thank Allison again. We still have some time left for this workshop. And C,
sitting there, I just got to the retreat probably 20 minutes or a half an hour before I was asked to chair this meeting, and I'm very grateful today too, because I haven't said no since I have been in this program to anything that I have been asked to do, and I'm so full of gratitude today. Gifts of recovery are absolutely undescribable for me at times. I struggle with finding words sometimes to express how moved I am, and that God has shown favor on me, on this addict. I too had been out there. My active addiction was 29 years, and I first learned about Narcotics Anonymous when I was about 19 or 20, and I certainly wasn't ready to surrender to this disease, to this program, or to my God at that time. And I'm very overwhelmed, on those days, overwhelmed with gratitude. And I never stop talking about God. I'm from Indiana, and God is just so awesome. I too talk to him, you know, morning, noon, night, in between. And I'm very grateful to be here today. So I'd just like to go ahead and, keep this workshop going. And if anybody would like to come up and share about anything they heard, anything that God placed on their hearts, that's all I got for now. Thanks.
Anybody got it on that?
I just wanted to share
real quick about gifts. My wife and I, we were up in Lake Erie at the end of June, and it was a rainy day. We decided to go up to Niagara Falls, and I wanted to go up to the casino in Canada. And so we also wanted to do, I wanted to do a meeting in another country. So we were crossing over from New York State into Canada, and I was on my wife's cell phone calling the hotline, trying to find a meeting list in Canada. And when we pulled up, there was hundreds of cars going through customs. And as we pulled up to the customs booth, I was on the phone, and the guy looked in the car at me, and he said, "Sir, would you put the phone down?" And I said, "Well, I'm talking." And he said, "That's all right, I'll wait." And so I said, "Oh, okay," just like that. And I put the phone down, and he gave us a little piece of paper, wrote some notes on it. He said, "You pull your car over there and go over there and talk to them people." And so we pulled the car over. Every other car was going, waving through. He made us pull over, and he searched the car, top to bottom, went through my wife's purse. It wasn't, of course, nothing in the car, but he had us go inside the office. He said, "You go in there." He's got our driver's licenses. He said, "You go in there, and I don't talk to you." So we went inside, and they took our license. We sat there for 10 minutes, seemed like an hour. Finally, the guy come out. He called me over and told my wife, "You stay there." He called me over. He looked at me. He looked at my license. He said, "Do you have a record?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "For what?" I said, "For drugs." He said, "What kind?" I said, "Cocaine." He said, "What was the charge?" I said, "Distribution." He said, "What else?" I said, "Buddy, why are you asking me all these questions? You obviously know." And he says, "All right, you go sit down. I'll send your wife over." So I went back. I sent my wife over. He starts questioning her. Now, she's got a record, too. She's over there talking to him for a long time. She's got a bad temper. The longer she's talking to him, the worse I'm getting scared. I'm thinking, "Oh, no, what's going to happen?" Finally, she comes back over. She gives me my license. She says, "We've been denied access to Canada." And I tell the guy, I said, "Look, there's hundreds of cars going through. I said, I'm going to go get in my car and go around and try again. He said, that's right. He said, if we catch you, you're going to have to spend the night in jail and go inland. They'll see you on Monday. I said, all right. So we get in the car. We're going back across the bridge to America. As we're going back across the bridge, I get to thinking, oh, shit, what if America don't want us? We both have convictions. He said, look, man, he says they've been doing that a lot. He says ever since September 11th, they've been really checking people to see, because they don't want no terrorists in there. He says, don't feel bad. He says, they're sending DUIs back. They're sending all kind of people back. The guy made us feel good. He told us, he said, the American dollar is better than the Canadian dollar, and our casino is better anyhow. So we went and blew our money at the American casino. It was okay. And we went to a meeting. We found a meeting in Niagara Falls, New York, right after we pulled back in. We went to a meeting. We had a great meeting. We shared about what had happened. I heard a guy at this meeting say this, and it was beautiful. I'd never heard it before. I just wanted to jump up here and share this with you. We were talking about God. And he said when he first got in, they had told him God stood for G-O-D. It stood for a gift of desperation. He said G-O-D was a gift of desperation. I had never heard that before. But when I thought about it, it made so much sense. I would have never met God if it hadn't been for that gift of desperation. He said the gift of desperation had led him in to a room. It was a group full of drug addicts, G-O-D, a group of drug addicts. I said, all right, I can get with that. He said all them drug addicts had given him G-O-D, good, orderly direction. I said, all right, all right. I got a friend who I've been watching him struggle for years, and I love this guy. He's one of them guys. They had told me that there was old-fashioned alcoholics that would drink mouthwash. I thought that when they told me that, they were BSing. But this guy drinks mouthwash by the case. Nasty. And it messes him up. And he's got a couple of weeks together. We were talking recently, and I told him that same story about G.O.D. He said, Doug, G.O.D. for me means a gift of desire. I think that's the great thing I got here was the gift of desire. Great to let you share this.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. And could we please have the reading just for today?
Man named Joe. Just for the day. Tell yourself, just for the day, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for the day, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for the day, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for the day, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for the day, I'll be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thank you. And we have a nice way of closing.